Okay, I need everyone's attention, please. Okay, so, okay, please. Okay, so I'm going to begin in the Mishnah on Samach Bava Ben Aleph, around eight lines from the bottom. Everybody focused? Okay, so Manit in the Mishnah says, Naziriah Shmuel, Kedibra Reb Nehorai, that Shmuel Hanavi, that's Sota, but here's some more. No, that's wrong. This is the one you need. Here, over here. Here you got it. Nisim over here. Here. Okay, so Shmuel Hanavi was a Nazir, was a Nazir according to Reb Nehorai. Shneamar Moralo Yala Rosho. So if you remember, it's the Haftorah that we read on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the Tefillah of Chana. Chana makes a prayer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that she should have a child. And then she makes a neder, and she says, if I have the child, so mora lo yala rosho. So the simple pshat, Mara wants to say, mora, we think, is a razor. Mora is a razor. You know, Aram Moshe, can you sit over in the seat over here? Okay, so mora is a razor. So will we take it that he's a nazir? He says, now the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, nemar b'shimshon. Now, Shimshon was also a nazir. We studied Sefta, that Shimshon was also a nazir. Now it says Nemar b'Shimshon u'mora, so it says by Shimshon also mora lo yala rosho. So when Shimshon is born, or before he's born, the Malach speaks to Manoach and his wife, and says mora lo yala rosho, a razor shouldn't go on his head. Nemar b'Shmuel u'mora, ma mora hamura b'Shimshon nazir, just like the mora that by Shimshon is an nazir, a mora hamura b'Shmuel nazir. So to the mora that said by Shmuel is an nazir. Now, there's one question that's asked by Lama Mefarshim is, if you remember, we just learned the Haftorah maybe 2 weeks ago, or several weeks ago, was on Parshat Zachor. So it speaks about Shmuel. What does he do with Agag? He stabs him, right? And then Agag dies. Now, if Shmuel's a Nazir, that doesn't sound like good. That doesn't sound like good for a Nazir to kill somebody, right? A Nazir. Well, the question is, was he a Nazir Shimshon or not? But assuming he was not a Nazir Shimshon, so then how's this going to work? So there's a lot of different answers that are given to this. Actually, Rabbi Meir Shapiro, who's the founder of Daf Yomi, says, like you, Yosef, he says that he was a Nazir Shimshon. So Nazir Shimshon, we learned there are different types of Nazirus, right? There's a Nazir Olam. You could be Nazir for perpetuity, and then you get to take a haircut periodically. And then a Nazir Shimshon is allowed to be Metamei to Metim, could be Metamei to dead people. So Rabbi Meir Shapiro says that Shmuel was a Nazir Shimshon. And it seems like you have some proof from the Mishnah, because it links it up to the Psukim by Nazir Shimshon. But there's a Harifus answer that's given by the Note of Yehuda. I saw this in the Masifta Gemara. He says that that Agag was the last Amaleki living on the face of the earth. He was the last one on the face of the earth. And Shmuel was going to kill him. So there's a Mrs. Essay to destroy Amalek. So if he's been kind of Mrs. Essay, an Essay is Doka Lotasa. So he's under a Lotasa not to be Matam and Lamaitim, but now when he kills him, he's been kind of Mitzvah. Now, if you say he kills the last Amaleki, how do we have Haman? So Agag impregnated some women, but they weren't lives and being yet. That's the way Rabbi Sarfati was saying with this. Anyway, but it's an interesting idea. You have to ask the question, but So you have to say, and I says, right. So Rabbi Sarfati was saying that to me as well. And he said, unless you could say the essay was Gadel Paras Arosho. So the essay could relate to growing the hair. In other words, what's the essay? And there was an essay in Lotasa. So Lotasa says, don't even tell him mate. What's the essay? The essay can't be grow the hair long. So that would be one way to say, okay, let's see further in the Mishnah though. So he says, so I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi below Ein Mora Ela Shabbat Sarvadam. So Rabbi Yossi understands the word Mora differently. So simple shot, you could understand Mora could be a razor. Mora could be fear, if I spell with an aleph. So some want to say that we see, so mora with an aleph is fear. So he wants to say, u'mora lo yala rosho, that Chana was making a tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And she wasn't saying that a razor is not going to go on his head. U'mora lo, that he's not going to fear my bakash from you, Hashem. He shouldn't fear from men. In other words, nobody's fear should be on him. Now, the only thing is that it's spelling it differently, spelling it with a hey, it should be with an aleph, but there is a pasuk in Tehillim where mora is spelled when it means like close to fear, but it's spelled with a hey. But the Marasha wants to say that it's not talking about mora fear. Means mora means like srara, like in other words, like rulership. So mora lo yila rosho, in other words, he shouldn't be subject to anybody's beck and call. He'll be his own person. That's the filo of Chana. Now we see, so one of the Mefarshim says that the Leket quotes to him, we see that Chana's bakasha were all fulfilled. So in other words, she made a number of bakashot from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and the Gemara in Brachot goes through the bakasha, each one was filled, so we can assume that this one was filled as well. So this is umora lo yala rosho. So if it means he shouldn't be anybody's beck and call, and he said el basar b'dam, so Mela, so that's what it means. Not that he was a Nazir, it's just that he should be like independent and free of people. So Amalei Reb Nohorai, so Reb Nohorai said back to Reb Yossi, hello kvar nemar vayomer Shmuel eichelech b'shema Shaul b'haragani. But Shmuel, we see during his lifetime, he says, yeah, I got problems. You know, like how can I go to anoint David HaMelech? Shaul's going to take my head. So he's afraid from Shaul. So he's had his beck and call. So either way, I explain Moras, that's his rejoinder. That's his rejoinder. All right. Now let's see a little further. Any questions on this mission? Everybody good? All right. Let's go in. Let me just get a little piece of Torah here. All right. We got the one. All right. We'll see in a minute. All right. Yeah, no, but I'm recording. Okay. Okay, doing what? What? I'm sorry, what? Right, so sometimes...
Somebody wrote a safer, and
Now, let's see further. Now, this next Gemara, Lechora, doesn't have anything to do with the Mishnah. So the simple shot, you could say, is that in the Mishnah we learned Machloket between Reb Nohorai and Reb Yossi. So the two of them, the two Tanaim are going to be mentioned in this next piece. That's the simplest shot in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amali Rav L'chibare. Rav said to his son Chia, turn page, Taplan Amadeus. Look at this, we got the end, it's inside. Chatofu Barich, B'chein Amar Lady Rav Hun, the Rav Barei, Chatofu Barich. It means it's talking about the Koshal Bracha. If you look at the Rashi / Mefarish, she says, Chatov Koshal Bracha, like grab the Koshal Bracha. In other words, when you say Birkat HaMazon, you should preferably say it with a cup of wine. And I understand we have a cup of wine today, or our president brought a wine here. So he says, Chatov Koshal Bracha, Ubarach Birkat HaMazon, and you should bench with a cup of wine. He says, Shetehe Mekayim Levarechal Kos Birkat HaZimon. So Rav was saying to his son Chia, in other words, Bizban Chazal, everybody didn't bench. Bizman Chazal, one person benched and recited the whole Birkat HaMazon out loud, and everybody else would listen closely and say Amen and have Kavanah B'yotzei. So Rav was saying to his son Chia, so the one who's going to bench is the one who has the Koshal Bracha. He's the one who's going to bench. So he says, you should try to get the Koshal Bracha, so you'll be the one to bench. You'll be the speaker, not the listener. Better to be the speaker as opposed to the listener. Now, Mefarshim say it doesn't mean like grab it, but it means like if they offer it to you, don't say, oh no. Like go for it. Now he says, so it sounds like from that statement that the Mevarech, the one who makes the bracha, has a better role, a more important role than the one who's listening. But Hatanya, but we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gadol Ha'ona Amen, Yo Termen Mevarech. Rabbi Yossi says that the one who says Amen is on a higher level than the Mevarech. So that's not going, doesn't shtimois, right? So Rav is saying to his son, and Rav, we usually say it is an Amara. We usually think of Rav. Sometimes it works as Rav Tanu Paris, Upali, but Rav, we usually think is an Amara. But the Braisa seems like it's against Rav. The Braisa says, Rabbi Yossi says, Yidol ha'on amein, yo termon avarech, that the one who answers is on a higher level. So v'amrlei Reb Nohorai, and here we have Rabbi Yossi Reb Nohorai, and that would be the v'amrlei Reb Nohorai, Hashemayim kahu. He says, you could see that's the way it is. Teda, I'll prove it to you. Sharei gulyarim mitgarim v'molchama. When you have a war, gulyarim, he takes it as like the horsemen. In other words, the soldiers are charging and fighting the whole war, and they're playing an important role. Giborim notchim. But the Giborim, then at the end, like, you know, the last, you know, the, in other words, like the general who'll hold in reserve his best soldiers and then clinch the battle with the best soldiers. So the idea is the one who's filling in at the end is on a higher level, the one who's answering Amen the same way. That's what he wants to say. So if that's the case, how are we miyashev? So on the one hand, Rav is saying to his son, you be the one to recite everything. On the other hand, we have these statements that the one who's answering Amen is on a higher level. So the Gemara says Tanayim. It's really machloket Tanayim. He says the Tanya. We learn in the Brisa, Echad Hamavarech v'Echad Ha'oneh Amen b'Mashma. In other words, it's a pasuk. Gadlula Hashem iti in the Roman Mashma Yachdav. Praise Hashem with me, and we'll praise Hashem together. So it sounds like the pasuk is addressing itself both to the Mavarech and the one who's answering Amen. Ela Shemamar in the Mavarech Tchila. But in Shemayim, they give Sakhar to the Mavarech first. So now we have two Tanayim. So Rav Lechora was going like that Tana, and the other statement's going like the other Tanaim, like the other Tanaim. Okay, now let me say a few words, and then I think we're just about ready to close it out here. All right, let me just do a little bit of the Al-Hadaf. This is Rabbi Zev Dickstein, my regular Daf Yomi, knowing the whole thing with this. So he goes over the Gemara first. We went through the Gemara already. The Shulchan Aruch rules in accordance with Rav, that one should attempt to be the one to recite the Birkas Hamazon rather than listen and answer Amen. Mishnah Berurah deliberates as to whether this halakha applies even today when everyone recites Birkat Hamazon themselves. Perhaps the significance that Rav placed on the leader of the Zimun group is that he recites Birkat Hamazon on behalf of the others in the group. Today, when everyone in the group recites Birkat Hamazon, perhaps it is not so important to lead the Zimun. Now, we said Gadol Ha'ona Amen Yotir Mei Mevarech. Several explanations are offered for Rabbi Yossi's unique assertion that it is better to answer Amen than to recite the bracha. The Meiri suggests that Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that one who listens to a bracha is able to concentrate better on the meaning of the words than the one reciting the bracha. Therefore, he says it's better for one to listen to another person recite the bracha and respond Amen so he can concentrate better. He says the Meiri concludes that accordingly, if one feels that he can concentrate properly while reciting the bracha, it's worthwhile for him to recite the bracha himself. In other words, on the tzad that Gadol Ha'ona Amen, why should answering Amen be better than reciting the bracha yourself? So the Meiri says, maybe you get better kavana if you say Amen. Alternatively, the Merome Sada, that's in the Siv, he cites the Gemara Masechet Yoma, which derives from Pasuk Yishem Shekra HaBegodol Elokeinu, that when one hears the name of Hashem proclaimed or bracha being recited, he's obligated to confirm his belief in Hashem by responding Amen. Rabbi Yossi holds that responding Amen is fulfillment of a biblical mitzvah, even if it's a response to rabbinically ordained bracha. So this is a whole harifa. So in other words, Rabbi Yossi saying, if I answer Amen, I fulfill a mitzvah, I say Doraisa, ki Shem Hashem Ikra HaBegor Elokin. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, I say the Shem Hashem, because I'll teach us that he was talking about when I say the bracha, that's Mechuyev Ben HaTorah. Like Birchas HaTorah is Ben HaTorah, but also Birchas HaMazon is Ben HaTorah. So when I say ki Shem Hashem Ikra, when I say Shem Hashem, HaBegor Elokin, you give Kabbalah, you say Amen. That's because I'll learn from it. So even if the bracha is a bracha Durabanan, so the way the Rome Sada understands it, Rabbi Yossi is saying, when you answer Amen, you're Mekhav Mitzvah Doraisa. Therefore, responding Amen is more praiseworthy than reciting a bracha. Anywho, all right, let me say some concluding remarks. What?
Many Gedolim wouldn't drink a glass of water if there's somebody to say Amen.
If there's somebody to say Amen. The, you know, so Poskin bring down that when you say Amen, that the Mevarech should have Kavanah to be Yotze with the Amen. That sounds strange. In other words, if I'm making a bracha and somebody's answering Amen, I should focus on that Amen. That Amen becomes part of my bracha and enhances my bracha and as well. All right, now. Right, that's 100% true. Right.
I don't know. As I say, implication for what you're saying. The other thing is when you say, when I have something you mentioned for a rabbi, Kaddish.
Right. The whole cocoa. Right.
So that sounds like that's a really important mediation.
Yeah, that definitely is important, though it's I assume it may not. Does it say kolone? Is it Yeheshmei Rabba or Amen Yeheshmei Rabba? In other words, I have to look at the memory of Chazal. In other words, so the Amen could be one thing, but Yeheshmei Rabba, you know, could be before cocoa. That I have to look, that I need to look into it. Okay. All right.
The other guy, Bekin Rabba. Or be he's eating the apple. You're saying Amen.
Yeah. So some want to say that this. Some want to say this whole discussion really relates to Birchos and Mitzvot and not Birchos and Enin. So it might not apply to Birchos and Enin. Okay. And I see that. our rabbi is here, Rabbi Yismach. It's so kavo to have you with us, Rabbi Yismach. And also I want to acknowledge the presence of our president, Stephen Roth. He's here. And welcome both of you. Okay, so first let me say, first today's the Siyam has been sponsored by Mrs. Pearlfield, Daniel Khodadadian, Arthur Kirsch, Miriam and Yosef Rahmani, Bernard Marvin Resmovitz, Ruth Seif, and Romino Deweis. And we're grateful to your sponsorship, and we're grateful for Rabbi Yismach for making the flyers. And Romino Deweis and Pearlfield are sponsoring in memory of Romina's father and Pearlfield's husband, Carl Field, and Pearl's brother and Romina's uncle, Herbert Gruder. Arthur Kirsch is doing for Fushleimer for Rav Aaron Moshe Halevi. And then Fern Resmovitz is in memory of David ben Menachem Mendel ben Rivka Resmovitz, and Yosef Rachmani Refushleim for Sarva Bakya, and Dr. Daniel Khodadani in memory of Boaz ben Avram. All right. Now, Rabbi Yismach, did you want to say a few words? What? Is who? Oh, okay, David ben Menachem Mendel. Yeah. Well, you could still be here.
Second to last lesson, more about a day. So the Gemara talks about how the real soldiers who excel, special forces, that's the process. The process of the day is that they are very little left there. It sounds like the person who got the lesson, the person who gets, should be the one who gets on the floor. You're just like the also, you're the also. So what's the cost? What's the I think I once heard that the idea might be as follows. Everybody gets in at a different speed. Sometimes it's hard to get into something that somebody else changes to feel that. It's hard to say, you know, they'll arrive all the time and everything that they've been doing all of this time, I think it's pretty good. And, you know, we're usually more principled than if we say, I don't do that, then I stay not doing that. They do that, I don't do this. And the willingness to be able to jump on board, even though you're not part of the initial bracha. But you know what? You decide and you get inspired enough to say amen, and I'm also in. Everybody here in this assembly is doing that daf yomi a different amount of time. We've all been doing it less time than those initial daf yomi types of people. There was always somebody who started a sefer before you, and there's somebody who probably inspired you. So that's very hard to be the person who's able and willing to tell themselves, like, you know what? I'm going to jump in also. I'm going to be second. It's okay to be second. Of course, there's always somebody else that you're before also. But it's okay to be second. It's okay to be inspired by others. And it's not beneath my vision to add in myself and be counted where they're counted as well. Everybody should, you should say amen after this prayer, but you should continue to be Messiah and the Sephiroth. It's a beautiful thing that we have the privilege of having a Dafyomi Shir with this type of assembly and this type of Siyam and this type of Magid Shir, who so ably and so capably not only teaches, but also recruits. And without any sort of shame, recruits. It does not matter who, it doesn't matter if it's their first daf, or if it's their millionth daf, everybody is shayach, and everybody could say a name to that, to the bracha Rabbi Goldstein is making, and everybody should be zofa within a shas multiple times, and keep it up. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you very much, Rabbi Yismach. All right, let me say a few words, and then I think that'll be it. Okay, so this week's Parsha is Parsha Tzav. So one of the things in Parsha Tzav, we read about the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. The Parsha opens up. Trumas Hadeshen is each morning, the Kohen goes up the ramp, the first avod in the Beis HaMikdash. Kohen goes up the ramp of the Mizbeach, takes a shovel full of ashes and puts it on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. So it seems sort of strange, like Lepore, and this is something from Reb Konigsberg, who's one of the Russian Yeshiva, was talking about this. Seems strange that you begin your avoda like with clearing away some ashes off the mizbeach. So he was quoting from Rav Shamsham Rafal Hirsch, and he was saying that the idea is those are the ashes from the previous day, and it means that you're going to build on what came before. You're going to build on whatever came before, and that's a lot of what Daf Yomi I think is about. In other words, with Daf Yomi, sometimes people have here's a lecture here, I'll do a lecture on this, then I'll do this one, this that the other. But with Daf Yomi, you're building always from day to day to day. In other words, you're building a structure, like laying like brickwork, and you do a daf, another daf, another daf. Each daf, you think, gee, how much did I get today's daf? But then each daf builds on the next daf, And that's the only way to really acquire anything in learning. It's not, I grab this, I grab that, grab the other thing. At the end of the day, you don't know anything from that. I mean, you know something. But with daf, like even with daf yomi, you think to yourself, when I was giving the daf before, so I said nazir, and people were saying, oh, this is nazir shimshon, this is a nazir olam, the different types of naziris. So if you have that idea, so you're one step ahead of the game in Masechet Nazir. Then we went through the dinim about a kura, tavusa, the ground that's near the mace. If you have that, it's another detail. Each item builds and builds and builds and builds, but you build it as a structure. That's one piece. Then there's another piece in the parsha where we says Eish tamid to kadam zbeach lo tefeh, that the fire that's on the zbeach should never go out. So this mem chazal, this is from Rabbi Simon Sefer. It says in the Yerushalmi that lo tefeach masaot. But the fire doesn't go out even when they're in transit. Even when they're traveling from one place to another, they're carrying a mizbeach with fire burning on it. So the Gemara says, how do you transport a mizbeach with fire on it? So are you kofin la sachter the rebuter? The reason is they would have some sort of like metal pot, whatever, a metal covering, and that's the way they would transport it. So one idea with this is that, why should that be the case? So he quotes from a sefer. Oh, they're welcome. Okay, it looks like a familiar face here. Baruch Mechaim Mason. Welcome. Okay. So it says. So it says in the sefer by Chi Yosef, by Rabbi Yosef Greenwald. He was the Av Beis Din and Papa. He says that, you know, Torah is called fire. He says Halo Kod Rika Eish. Hashem says my words are like fire. And the Koach HaTorah, like it creates good machshava even when you're in shul, not just when you're in shul based medrash, but it's not just to have enough the Torah when you're there. You have to have it infused with it when you leave the base medrash, when you're going to work, you're going to business. So when a person comes and they have a Seder of Limud, so it's not just that 1 hour, which is an important hour or whatever it is, but that's what charges you, it keeps you. In other words, like you take that with you, it means you're going to work, you're going to business. So there's a different mahus from a person who's learning and a person who's not learning. A person who's not learning, they're like they're basically off the derech, I would say. Like sometimes I ask people, you know, how much do you learn? You know, and they'll say, you know, tell you the truth, you know, 5 minutes every 5 weeks, you know, something like that. And it tells me it's something about the person, you know. And then I ask somebody else, no, I have a Seder, I have a Chavrusa with somebody. I study every day. I say, how long do you study? They'll say this. I say, what do you study? You know, it tells you something about the person. So the idea is, though, but when you have the limud of Daf Yomi, it stays with you and you're able to take it with you. And it attaches you to Torah, even over where you are. And another idea that Rav Simon has, it says in the Sifrei that Eish dat lamo, ma eish kol mishtamish bo, osa begufo rosham. Anybody, like any contact with having fire, it makes an impact. In other words, you have fire, things are not the same when fire has been there. So too, the af tamid hachamim shamein bo, Nikarim behind Habriya Bilukam Dibram Ubatifa Tambashut. Tamil Chacham, who studies Torah, he's a different person. He's Nepakhli Ishacher. So it means like, just like Rahman al-San, there's a fire in a building, you say, gee, this building is different. There's a fire here. You know, I could see that it's a totally different building. So, but in a good way, if a person studies Torah, he's infused with that. That's a koach, and it keeps him going. So with Daf Yomi, kind of hard. First of all, there are a lot of people who are doing Daf Yomi in our shul. I believe Rav Ismach is also doing Daf Yomi. He said he's making a CM now in the Masechet Nazir. There are other people who do Daf Yomi. I prefer if they would come to the Chabur. I think learning with a group of people is always on a higher level. The group keeps you going. The group, if you learn with a group, you're zocheh sometimes to teach Torah. You ask a question, that's teaching Torah. And when Rabbim do a mitzvah, it's on a higher level. But I think even the people who learn Daf Yomi here, I think are at least in part responsible for the other people doing Daf Yomi. People know that in the shul, there's 5 or 10 or however many people doing Daf Yomi, and they think, gee, you know, I need to do this. I got to stay up. Well, I got to keep up with my game, you know? and I think that's a very positive thing that people can feel proud of. So first, I really wish you all a big yashikoach on making it through Masechet Nazir. And we learned that women can be nazirot also. We had that. and we learned a lot of different dinim. I hope you will go mechayel lechayel and keep up the learning. All right, now I have to figure out how we're going to do this here. So I think, well, let me see. We have a lot of people here who normally aren't here. So let me see how we should do this. So I tell you what, Oded, would you like to be? Where's Oded? Oded is here. Oded, yeah. You want to be Messiah? No, you don't. You don't want to do any. What do you want to do? Okay. So you're going to catch up. Okay. So. All right, let me see the... Okay. So, Yosef, do you want to finish the Masakta? Do you want to be... No, I thought you went away last time. Okay, so I tell you what. So Pesach David, you'll be the Messiah. Okay, you'll be the Messiah. Then I think we will do this. Arthur, you'll do the Hadron. You'll do the Hadron for us. Okay. And Rafi, can you say the Kaddish? No? You can't say the Kaddish. Okay, so you'll say the Kaddish also. And then Yosef, you'll begin us on Masechet Sota. How's that? Okay, that's the way we're going to do it. Okay, so, and then when we get to the Kaddish, you know, I ask the women nothing against you, but to be behind them. All right. They got the Shtickle Torah here. Okay, that's
it. All right,
here with us here.
Yes, we have a little bit of my
Okay, now Yosef's going to start us off in the second sota. I want to give a special welcome to Mitchell Shapiro, who used to live here in Great Neck, but he came especially for the Siyum. Okay, if he could come for the Siyum, the people here can come for the Siyum. Okay, let's hear a little bit of the first mission. Go ahead.
One in front of two witnesses. And he makes a drink with one witness, or even that witness could be himself.
Okay,
everybody's
invited to
Suda.
Okay,
let's
thank you. Thank you very much. You come with this every night.
The first volume of Nazir have dated 2008. I didn't finish it. There was none of this. I don't know if I started with you and dropped out in 20 days plus work or whatever. You know, where the ribbon. No ribbon. All over from the beginning. Now I actually have skin.